The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. Today is April 12th, 2023, for the podcasters. And just let you guys know that for the first 10 minutes, we do a podcast. We put it on YouTube, and then we stop the YouTube after 10 minutes and then go straight to Rumble. If you want to join us at Rumble, you can do that. You can just go to rumble.com/ I think it's just Carmorg. Just look for Carmorg. You'll find it. And what's cool about it is there are a lot of people in there in the chat, and it's pretty cool, pretty good. So we enjoy that, and enjoy them. So if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call, okay, and we can talk. All right, we have nobody waiting right now. And also, if you are interested in emailing me, you can do that. You can contact me there by just going to your email and emailing us at info@carm.org, info@carm.org, and just what was this? It was radio questions, I think it was the subject, and that's what Ernie was telling me, and we can I can check them out. Not a big deal, pretty easy, and that's that. All right. So I spent a couple hours today on Clubhouse. I was working, and I was doing some AI prep. Or inside of Midjourney doing graphics, and yesterday I was working on a logo and getting stuff ready for another intro, outro for some of the stuff I'm doing. We've got a lot of stuff going on, and you know, praise God for that. And so I went on, took a break, and sometimes it happens. People will want to talk to me, and I ended up talking about the Trinity and the deity of Christ for this one guy, and it was really an interesting conversation because this guy, I'm not trying to misrepresent him, but I don't think he knew what he himself believed, because when I would listen to him and I would work with what he said, he would change his position. And this happens. It's unfortunate, but it does happen. But it was a good conversation, and then we got talking about some other stuff afterwards, which reminds me, tonight, in 3 hours, I'll be on Clubhouse on your phone or Club Deck on a PC, and you can look for Matt Slick, interest questions, whatever it is. And it's usually goes 2, sometimes 3 hours, and people come in and just fire questions, and we often get into these long conversations about sometimes esoteric topics, but it's done in such a way that you can actually understand it and follow it for the most part. So I enjoy that, and if you want to check that out, you can do that. I believe, if that's correct, maybe Laura can tell me or type it in there or in private chat there, that that she puts the links and stuff up. I think she does that on the Carm homepage. We've got to figure that out. I think it's social media, social-media. We have that page. I mean, put stuff up there, too. There's a lot going on. And people actually were talking about the ministry, Carm ministry, really being appreciative of what it is. And I wanted to thank them for their uplifting comments and how much Carm had helped them. I really needed that. It's been tough lately. There's just some stuff, you know, just some things that we have to deal with and on a regular basis. And, you know, just life. So it was good to hear, you know, to hear people say, oh, man, Carm's really helped. And, you know, it's a blessing and things like that. We like that. I appreciate it. So thank you very much for those of you who did that. I really appreciate that. All right. Now, I'm looking at the Rumble account, and we have people in there. And more people will join in for the next 20 minutes. And there we go. All right. So we have no callers waiting. 877-207-2276. I'm going to read an email. Question for Matt on the radio. Hey, Matt. Stephen here from Scotland, in UK. He says he goes by a certain... there he is, right? Oh, he's on there right there. Hey, Red Form YT on Rumble. Hey, how you doing, buddy? where I tune into your show pretty regularly and take part in the live chat. All right. Anyway, my question is, here in June, there'll be a Pride event. First one since 2019. Apparently 14,500 people attended that one. I want to fly over. I want to come to Scotland, and I want to go, and I want to speak and equip the churches and have the discussions with them. I would do that. I would go to Scotland for that. They say it is going to be bigger than ever. I am prayerfully considering going to pass out tracts, God willing, possibly right by the entrance of the ground where there will be a stage and performers and things. Wow. I think I can make good impact there by way of reaching a lot of lost people quickly. I'll not be buying a ticket to go in. See, I would. Now, I would do that. For me, it's just research. You know, I would go into something like that because I want to see what they're doing and I want to have film on the inside. I don't look at it as supporting them. I look at it as researching them. That's what I would do. But that's, you know, it's just me. I don't want to buy a ticket to go in. I don't need to go in. Wouldn't support that anyway. I think I will stand at the entrance and peacefully pass them out. Peacefully? Well, if it's like anything that happened here in Boise, Idaho, you'll be yelled at. People will scream. They will get in your way, try and stop you from preaching and teaching, try and stop you from handing out literature. They'll call the cops on you. They'll do all kinds of stuff. He says, let's see, hopefully pass him out, hopefully keeping myself right with the law at that same time. What I would recommend you do is call the police and say, this is what I want to do. What are my rights? What can I do? And you get the name of the person you talk to, the sergeant, if you have whatever the official would be, you know, the name, maybe even a phone number if you can, of the individual at the place in charge who said that you could go there on this place and pass this out. You want to get that in place first. That's what I would be doing. In fact, if I went to Scotland, if somehow someone just paid for my ticket to get over there and I stayed with this guy so it was cheap and did that for a few days, one of the things I would do is I'd make sure I'd get there. I'd go, okay, look, I'm an American. I'd go to the police station. I'd go to the, that's what they call it, the constable office. I don't know. I'd go there and say, look, I want to pass out literature. I'm from the United States, and you can tell by my accent. What can I do and what can I not do according to your laws? I just want to know. And then that's what I would do. Let's see. Any advice, tips you can give me? Yeah, I've been giving you several. Like for nerves, staying safe, etc. Well, if you want to stay safe, don't go. Okay, there you go. And if you don't want to have any nerves, don't go. All right? So what do you do when you go? You're going to have nerves. Would I have nerves? Yes. Would I be concerned about my safety? Yes, I would. And so one of the things I would inquire about there is whether I could use pepper spray. I would just have it on me that if the crowd was pressing in, I felt threatened, pepper spray them. That's it. And then get out of there. I mean, that's me. I'd see if that was legal, if that's over there, or if you get jailed and that gives you know, some American is now hostage in Scotland, you know, for whatever. But a lot of these the alphabet, I can call it another word, alphabet Nazis, alphabet Gestapo, alphabet group, alphabet cadre. I'll think of a word, the one I like better. You do put links up. Oh, good. Thanks, Laura. Thanks for that. On the Surfer Clubhouse. So, what would be a good word for that? The alphabet crowd. Alphabet or I don't know. Anyway, says, have you ever witnessed at one? Yes, I did. And if so, what are you getting into? Well, what happened here in the United States was that they had the Pride Fest. That's what gets me. It's Pride. It's pride in their rebellion against God. And so there were some guys who were from another church preaching, and there's a crowd around them, usually the 20-somethings who have no IQs, whose knuckles are rubbed raw from dragging them on the pavement, and their heads are sloped. And they were rude, foul, loud, did not want anybody to express a different opinion. Just politely give a different opinion. And the Christians who were doing this were at another place, you know, 50 feet away from the entrance, 70 feet away from the entrance. And the pro-alphabet, the alphabet, I gotta find that word for that. The alphabet alphabetters, what do you want to call them, they went out and didn't surround them because the geography didn't allow really a surrounding thing. But they were definitely there trying to shout them down and try to make it so they couldn't exercise their free speech. The police were like 30 feet away, just keeping an eye on things. Just keeping an eye on things. So after a while, I stood up and started preaching and just joined in with them. So that's what I did. The Alphabet Mafia, that's a good one, Alphabet Mafia. So that's what you did, and they would yell, and I would just wait. You know, I'd say, well, I'm not allowed to speak here. Is that your tolerance? And they wouldn't answer questions like that. They could see they're being intolerant. I say, but I was hoping for tolerance from you. This is a place of tolerance, right? Can I have that tolerance? And, you know, someone would actually, they got the point, and they would kind of quiet down. I said, so what I'm here to do is tell you about the Lord Jesus and what he wants. And they would assert, or they would start saying things that I was condemning their homosexuality. I said, I never said that, did I? Did I ever? Do you ever hear me say condemning it? What I'm saying is, Jesus is the Lord. And Jesus saves sinners, and we're all sinners. And that's what I did. I didn't preach about homosexuality or anything. I talked about generic sin and how we're all sinners and how we all need Jesus. That's what I did. So they couldn't get me on that. You're just here to condemn homosexuality. Says, I'm here to point people to Jesus, people who are sinners. Are you a sinner? I'm a sinner. And they need Jesus. And that's what I did. And that's how I did it. Right there. And so they couldn't say that I was there against their homosexuality. I never didn't say anything against them. I said, hey, this is, I'm here for sinners. Are you a sinner? You know, what are you going to say? You know, no, I'm not. Wow. Okay. And I think one person said, no, I'm not. And I said, let me look around for some water because I want to see if you can walk on it. Because the only other person I knew who wasn't a sinner could walk on water. I don't know. Couldn't you do that too? You know, I can talk, interact. Anyway, so he says, I have not been to anything like this before and have never done anything like this on a scale before. I'd also recommend this. Don't go alone. If you can, you get a friend who goes with you and he watches with a camera and he films everything. And if you could, you have a portable microphone on you so that words could be understood as well. If I were to go there, say I was going there, and you were out there speaking, I would stand back with my camera filming and I would bring wireless mic setup, hook up to the camera and hook up to you, and I would have you out there doing it. And then we'd switch and stuff like that. And that's what I would do. I don't trust them. Okay. And a lot of times what will happen is someone will come up behind someone and hit them. I've been threatened before. I've never been hit, but I've had, in different things I've done, I've had eggs thrown at me. I've been physically accosted, but not struck, where someone made contact with me, trying to rip some tracks out of my hands, and stuff like that. I've been threatened with arrest by a Mormon cop, and I thought from a Mormon church once, a Mormon get-together. So this kind of stuff is just what's going to happen. And if you can, also you can buy, you can get a, hold on a second, you can get a chest device that puts your cell phone on it, and you can film from your phone. That way you don't need a microphone, you just use your film, and you live broadcast it to like Rumble or something like that, live broadcast. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned. Give me a call, 877-207-2276.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Yeah, you know, it really got me going there about witnessing and evangelism. Believe it or not, I've done a lot. And I could talk about some more of that if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. So I've done stuff. Oh, excuse me. Oh, maybe I need a cough mic here. I've done stuff like stand out in front of Mormon churches and with signs. Is MormonismChristian.com. You can go to the website. I've stood out in front of Jehovah's Witness organizations, their big annual whatever they do, and with rjwschristian.com. I got to get that site working up again. We had to change things. I've gone door to door and beach evangelism and a lot of stuff. Prison ministry. I've gone out to schools and just witnessed to the beaches. And that, you know, it's good. Sometimes it's a little bit risky. Sometimes it is. I remember once here in Boise, they had a Mormon temple opening in Meridian, actually. And I was there, it's a couple of years ago or so, whatever it was. And I was just holding up a sign. You know, it's MormonismChristian.com. That's all. I wasn't accosting anybody. I wasn't bothering anybody. People walked by. I got out of their way. I said, hey, have a nice day. You know, I was just polite. I was just standing up with a sign. That's all I was doing. And some interesting things happened. Once, I got the cops called on me. And so I see these officers walking towards me. Because where I was like 100 feet or so each direction from driveways. And so they had to walk. And I saw, oh, here they come. And you know, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just standing there. The Mormons didn't like it, though. And these cops walk up, and they go, you see what you're doing here? I said, hi, officer, how you doing? And this one guy goes, are you Matt Slick? Yeah. He goes, hey, I really enjoyed your radio show. When it was on, he was listening to me. And so I got a kick out of that. And, you know, I said, am I doing anything wrong? He says, no, you're not. But we had to come out because there's a complaint, and we just have to go see and make sure it's all documented. And he says, you're not stopping any vehicular traffic. You're not stopping any pedestrian traffic. You're not calling anybody names. You're not doing anything. I says, right. I said, I will talk to the crowd, though. People walk in. I'll say, hey, have you talked about this? I said, that's okay, right? They go, yeah, as long as you're not using amplification, you can raise your voice, and you're not yelling and screaming at them. But, you know, you're raising your voice to communicate to them. I says, yeah. And he says, well, and that was it. And we talked. And so it was nice. And then, well, I don't know, a couple nights later, I was there, and in the dark. I think I was by myself again. It was generally not a good idea. And so I'm sitting there, and this guy, and I'm 6 feet tall, he's about 5 foot six, and he comes up to me. 5 foot six, maybe 5 foot eight, I don't know. And he comes up to me, and he's kind of sturdy. And he's with his wife, and he is angry. And he does not like what I'm doing. And he gets close, and he you could tell he was really fired up. And I'm like, okay, I got to be careful with this guy. And so I just took a step backwards. You know, I'm not going to fight anybody. I'm not going to do anything. And so what happened was he followed me, you know, a step closer. And he said, what are you doing out here? In mean tone. And I said, I'm just out here exercising my First Amendment rights. And I've talked to the police. Everything's good. And, you know, I was talking, and he got in my face. He was so close to me, he was within 6 inches, that as I backed up, he approached me again, and he could tell he wanted me to take a swing at him so that he could justify trying to beat me up. And I told him, I said, look, I said, you're putting me in a state of apprehension, and that's called assault. I don't want you to get closer to me. I'm backing away. I was talking like this. I'm backing away. I don't want any problems. Please leave me alone. I backed away, and he pursued me. And I thought at that point, I did martial arts. There's a couple moves I could do. I could drop him. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do anything. So I'm going to back up. And I just continued to do that. And he got in my face. And his wife finally got in and said, you got to stop this, to her husband. He said, you got to stop this. And the Mormons were watching it. The Mormon officials in their suits, they were watching this. And so I looked over at him, and this guy finally just left. And then they came over to me, and they said, look, he said, you have the right to do this, and I just want, and one Mormon said this, I couldn't believe it, it was really good. He said, if this happens again, just walk over to where we are. And we'll guard you. We'll protect you. And I looked at him. I said, are you serious? He says, yeah. He says, you have the right, and you don't agree with us. You're not being mean. You're not yelling and screaming, and you're not hurting anybody. And this guy was very rude, because they were watching. They witnessed what was going to happen. And I said, well, I thank you very much for that. And I said, if that happens again, I will. I'll come over there. And he said, no problem. And he said, we'll let others know that that's what you'll do if that happens. And I said, thank you. And I said, I appreciate that. And they were nice. And so this is the kind of thing, you know, that that I guess stories like this, this kind of stuff you got to watch out for, you know. I was at another Mormon temple opening in a place called Twin Falls. And this guy, I'm right next to the street, and, you know, the side, there's a fence of the property. Then there's like 4 or 5 feet of flower bed kind of thing. And then there's the sidewalk. And then there's, you know, a couple, 3 feet of grass. And then there's the curb and the street. So I'm about 4 feet from the street on a boulevard. There's no parking there. Cars are going by. And I can't repeat what the guy... I can't repeat what he was saying. But this guy in a truck drives up. And he stops right there in the boulevard. I don't do that. You know, he's right there. And in the street there. And he starts yelling at me. He rolls down the window. He goes, come here. He's yelling at me. He goes, come here. I'm going to. And he threatened me. He's what are you going to do to me? I'm going to. And then I can't repeat it. And so, you know, I'm like 15 feet away from the guy because he's on the other side of his truck. He's a driver's seat, right? And I'm fast. I can run quickly. I'm like, whatever. You know, he gets out of the car, I'll just run, you know, whatever. And so he says, come over here, I'm gonna, and then, you know, he threatens me. And I said, me? Because, yeah, you right there, come over there right now, I'm gonna, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you're talking to me? And he goes, yes, you, come over here right now, I'm gonna, I said, me, over there? He goes, yeah, over here, come here. I said, me? He goes, yeah. I said, right now? He goes, yeah, right now. Where? Right over here. Where? The church? Right there by the car? Yeah, why? I'm gonna get. I said, you're talking to me. Just kept doing this for like 2 minutes. This guy's yelling at me, and I kept saying, me? Right there? What's gonna happen? I just kept saying it. And just running him in circles. And he was getting flustered. And I said, look, dude, you need to leave. You're blocking traffic. It's dangerous. You need to go. And he goes, I'm going to get you. And he took off. I didn't see him again. So it's the kind of stuff that happens, you know. And I've been followed. I've been pursued. I've been swatted. I've been threatened with death. I've been told they're going to find me and kill me and my family. Oh. And that's just for the Baptists. No, I'm kidding. That was a joke. I couldn't help that last line. Hey, folks, give me a call. It's the bottom of the hour. Nobody's waiting. Give me a call. 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live. Taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
How are you doing? I'm smiling because we're out of the chat room. And Randall got me. That was a good one, Randall. Made me laugh. All right, let's get back on the air with Matt from California. Okay, buddy. So, are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I wonder if I could revert to something I touched upon a couple times before, maybe last week. I don't want you to think I'm like beating a dead horse. But,
all right.
I did a little more examining of like Paul's statement in Hebrews 9:27. Where it is appointed unto men once to die and bear after the judgment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, with regards to
better
babies,
internet problem. Hello?
They're not men. I'm just trying.
Neither are women. And neither are women. So you're
right.
Making a gender distinction here and doing that? Because men here just includes everybody. That's what it is.
Right, right. And we know that, like, but...
All right. I don't know if you can hear me. Back on Cordia Combrex. That's disconnected. We got some problems going on. I don't know what's going on here. GTL is disconnected. So I guess we're on. I got a yes, so I'll just keep talking. So let me know if we're on in the studio. We have, it's interesting, we have problems here. It does happen. Rebroadcast was playing, and I guess I'm on the radio again, and now you guys can hear me yet again. Please check on the radio. Someone let me know if we're on being broadcast. Don't know if we are or not. So anyway, I was talking about the things that I've done and some of the risks that I've taken to preach the gospel. I have been accosted, and I've never been struck, but close to it. I have been, thanks a lot for letting me know, Ron. I've been pursued, I've been chased, stuff like that. So once, for example, I was following Jehovah's Witnesses in my neighborhood. They were going door to door, and I just, you know, kept 100 feet behind them. And when they would go to a door and talk to them for any length of time, then I would go to that door and counter it. So, you know, it's a non-Christian cult and things like that. If they went to a door and, they, you know, it lasted 3 seconds, you know, like, no thanks, go away. I didn't worry about it. So I did this once for about an hour. And the Jehovah's Witnesses were seeing me do this. They did not like it. And one guy basically, he threatened me. And, you know, it doesn't represent all Jehovah's Witnesses, but he was pretty upset that I was doing that. There was another time when... excuse me. There we go. Another time I was talking to some Mormon missionaries. Now, I have to give you a little bit of a background on this one before the comment he made will make sense. Brigham Young was the second so-called prophet of the Mormon Church. And once they were settled in Salt Lake City, he had a group of men called the Danites. The Danites were a hit squad that go out and enforce what Brigham Young said he wanted to be done. And a phrase was, use them up, boys. The Danites were involved with the Mountain Meadows Massacre and some other stuff. At any rate, so the Danites were a hit squad, okay? Just think of it that way. And so I'm talking to this one Mormon missionary, and he's a big guy. And he was getting upset because I was countering everything he was saying, quoting scripture and showing a lot of the problems in Mormonism. And his jaw started quivering in anger. And I thought, you know, I don't want to push this guy. You know, I'm not here to make people mad, but I'm going to talk to them, you know. And I was getting concerned, so I kind of, you know, calmed down a little bit. And stopped, you know, just countering everything he said. He'd say something, well, yeah, but that, you see, and I was polite, and blah, blah, blah. And he finally had enough, and he didn't like that someone could answer him. And he clenched his fist. And when I was mentioning the Danites, he looked at me and he said, you better be careful, because they're still around, and we know who you are. That stopped me right there. I was so shocked by what he said, because he was threatening me, my life. The Danites did kill people. And he knew. And he was saying, we know who you are, and they're still around. And, you know, it was a death threat from a Mormon missionary. Now, I'm not saying that's all Mormons are like that. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that missionary said that. That's the only time it's ever happened. And it was... it was disturbing. It was. It caught me off guard. Here's another time, another thing. I'll just tell you, because nobody's calling. I'm going to just tell stories, okay? I don't mind. So once, I took some tracks, some tracks out in front of a Mormon church. I was on the sidewalk. I was not blocking any traffic. I wasn't there to cause problems. These people are going to hell, and I don't want them to go to hell. That's my concern. And so lately I've been getting the urge to go out in front of the Mormon church again with my sign, is MormonismChristian.com. I'm thinking about doing that. But just to do it on Sunday, just stand up across the street and hold it up, and, you know, that's all. And so anyway, so I had this handful of tracts, and people are going into their church, into the Mormon ward. And so this one guy, he comes up to me. And I could tell he was very agitated. But he was trying to control himself. And that's fine. I understand. And so he was just a few feet from me, he was fine. I wasn't threatened. And we got talking, and he said, why are you doing this? And I explained, and I said, I know what Mormonism teaches, and it teaches a false God and a false Christ, a false gospel. I said, I know this is upsetting, but this is what I believe, and I'm standing for the truth. And he was very irritated, and he asked me something else, and, you know, I got a lot of answers, a lot of responses, and so he didn't like that either. And he comes up to me, and he says, can I see one of the tracks? And I had my hands filled with both these tracks. And it confused me what he said when he said that. And so I go, yeah. And I went to sift one of them out to give to him, and I saw both his hands come forward. And I realized he wanted to get my tracks. And he grabbed them. And we had a tug of war over my tracks. And he pulled pretty hard. And some of them got loose. And he had a bunch in his hand, and he tried to rip them, but it was too many, and he couldn't rip them. And he threw them down the ground, and he starts walking at me, right? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I got to defend myself now. And so right before anything, these other Mormons grabbed him and stopped him. They just got in front of him and said, that's enough of that. And to their credit, good. Because I was backing away. But if he's going to come and take a swing at me, you know, I'm going to defend myself. And so they stopped him. And I'm thankful for that. You know, I'm thankful for that. And they were very nice. They picked up the literature that he had tried to destroy, and they put it together and stacked it nicely and handed it back to me. And I'm going to just tell you that I respected them for that, and I understood that they didn't like what I was doing, but they were neat. They were good people in that respect, and no problem. And so they apologized for his behavior, and I said, I understand. You know, I get it. And I said, but I'm going to still stay here for a while. They said, That's okay. You have the right to do that. This is how they've treated me. Most Mormons treat me like that. Most Mormons are really nice. So about 10 minutes later, I can still see him. This guy who, you know, tried to steal all my tracks, he's walking out by the door, out from the door, and I could tell his gait was stiff. And there were two guys walking with him, left and right of him, and I knew what had happened. They had rebuked him, and he was stiff, and I could tell he's going to come out and he's going to apologize. And I knew that's what's going to happen. I figured that's what's going to happen. And so I go, okay, fine, no problem. And so he walks up to me with these two guys left and right, and in a strained voice, he said, I need to apologize for my behavior. It was not very Christ-like, and I am sorry for what I did. And I'm not laughing at the guy, because I get it. That was hard. And I admired him for fessing up. It was, okay, it happens, you know. And I said, no problem. I appreciate that. Thank you very much for the apology, and I understand that. And I said, would you like a track? His whole body stiffened. You could tell. I could tell what was going on in his head. He was imagining punching my head. I knew that's what he was thinking. And so I wasn't trying to be obstreperous or anything. I just, you know, you want one? I'm going to try and witness to him. And he said, no, his teeth are like clenched. He said, no, thank you. And he turned around. He walked off with these two guys next to him all the way back into the church. And so that's what I remember there with that one. And poor guy, you know, I don't blame him getting upset. But hey, I got more stories too. I got all kinds of stories. Hey, folks, give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Hope you enjoyed my stories. I got a lot of them. A lot of stuff I've done, and I love telling them, and people tell me that they laugh when I tell them. All right, hey, we got an email question. Why did Jesus say the sins were forgiven for the man healed who was lowered through the roof by his friends? Even the thief on the cross. Even with the thief on the cross, we could perhaps see some repentance. We don't see that there had to be any doctrine understood or a gospel presentation. All right, good question. So the man's a paralytic, and most probably it was the paralytic who sought out Christ and asked his friends to take him there. That's probably what was the case. Because if people are there, this is my conjecture, it's my response. If people are hearing about Jesus, and they're okay, they're healthy, okay, what you doing? But what if you're a paralytic, and you're hearing stories, this guy, he's healing people. I could see them saying, get me over to him, get me over there. We don't see anything in the text that says that the paralytic was talking and urging them to get in. But I bet you that's what it was. But it could also be that the men were getting this paralytic in there, and I don't see the paralytic saying something like, don't do this, don't do it, I don't want to. It doesn't make any sense. So it would have to be that it was voluntary and that the paralytic agreed. It would make sense to say that. And so therefore, he had that measure of faith to have his friends do that and be let down in the room, and hence he was forgiven. That would make sense, okay? All right, so there you go with that one. And we have a caller. Let's get on the phone with Anonymous from North Carolina. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine by God's grace. So what do you got?
I love listening to you and your stories and your answers to people. But God, something I wanted to share about Mormons.
Okay.
Because I've got some Mormons in my family, so I've been exposed to them most of my life. I was raised in a very conservative Baptist church. And so sometimes some of the things they say just kind of really get over me. But I was staying with my cousin overnight, and her husband was way up in the church, and what they called an elder, I think. And we were sitting and talking. He was explaining to my sister-in-law that was with me some of the stuff about Mormons. She didn't know.
Well, you broke up there.
We're getting together to pray over this body. And I went, what? And he said, yeah, we're going to pray over him and bring him back to life. I said, you know only God can do that, not you. He said, oh, no, we can do it. And I just cut it off because I know I'd have got angry. But, I mean, you know, I really didn't know they believed that until I talked to him.
So, well, I've not heard they believe they have a priesthood and a priesthood authority, and that they can then raise the dead. So they believe they can do all kinds of things, and it makes sense and is consistent with their theological perspective. But I don't know what else you know about Mormonism. Do you know that they teach that God came from another planet? He used to be a man on another planet. Did you know that? That's what they teach.
I see that, but I have seen it, you know, around newsstands and stuff. But the other thing that I do know...
Newsstands.
Is his wife worked at a meal thing that they owned, and she didn't stay at home. She had to be out and work, and they had like 9 kids, 9 or 10 kids, and I mean, she was just under his thumb, and that's both of them died. And bless his heart. She died before he did, so she didn't even have a day without his thumb on her. Well, I know that, and they tried to explain to me about who Jesus was.
It's not a typical thing that I've heard, that Mormon men are always oppressing their Mormon wives. That's not what I've heard. And so
and
you
it's
might
okay
get
for them to have affairs.
No, it's not.
It's okay.
They don't believe in that. No, they don't believe in adultery. They don't believe in that kind of stuff. They don't believe in fornication. They don't believe in lying. But there's some things. But, no, for the most part, they're pretty moral people. They're not weird. Okay? They're good people.
Well, right? This one was.
They just believe in a false God and a false Christ. And that's what the devil wants.
Yeah.
He wants them to be nice and be as nice as he can and just believe in a false God. That's all he cares about.
They tried to explain to me who Jesus was. And I just couldn't really wrap my head around all that they were saying. And I usually just kept my mouth shut because I knew I would get into a heated discussion I couldn't get out of. So,
well,
but I mean,
I
was just amazed. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Mormonism is a strange religion. It started by a guy named Joseph Smith, who claimed that God appeared to him, God the Father, which is impossible because the Bible says it can't happen in 1 Timothy 6:16.
Yeah.
And he said the Mormon doctrine is that God used to be a man in another world and became exalted to this God, to this place. And yeah, that's interesting. Huh. And anyway, I just saw a new thing pop up on my screen. And so he became a god by following the laws and ordinances of the god over him on that world. And then he was exalted to godhood, and he came to this world, formed this world, and he has a goddess wife. And together they produce spirit offspring in the pre-existence. Now, there's not a really well-defined pre-existence doctrine. They haven't worked out the eternal intelligences, which is logically impossible, and the issue of... the pre-born spirits, and there's a lot of gray area in that about from Mormonism. But nevertheless, they teach that, and they teach that you know, temples and having handshakes and going into the temple to learn how to do stuff for the dead, and hopefully you become a god of your own planet, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's what Mormonism teaches. And Jesus and the brother, well, Jesus and the devil, and all of us are brothers and sisters in the pre-existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they have a false god and a false Christ, and then they have a false gospel.
The only thing I agree with is that we as denomination that I am, Christian and all, we need to be out, like you said you did, tracks with people. And when they all got together, if somebody needed help, they got together and helped take care of their own. You know, I mean, they even left their doors, and if missionaries were in the area, they could just come in, lay down in their living room to sleep, get up next morning and leave. That blew my mind. But,
well,
I mean, you know, they had some
people.
Good stuff, but
Mormons are not evil people.
They still never trusted Jesus.
No, they haven't trusted the true Christ.
They're not.
Yeah, they haven't trusted the true Christ. They have a false god. They don't realize they're believing in a false god. What gets me is the thought of a Mormon who's been raised in Mormonism, believes in the Mormon God, the Mormon Jesus, the Mormon gospel, and they get old and sick, and they're on their deathbed, and all their loved ones are around them, and you know, and they pass away. And then, instead of entering into the presence of Heavenly Father, they pass into damnation because they have believed in a false god. And they're idolaters. And the sheer shock that Mormons go through when they die and they face the true God and not the one that they were believing in, and then there's no hope after that. And this is what they're faced with. And it bothers me to hear that, to think about that.
Yeah. I mean, they're so close. You know, why can't they just listen to what people tell? But my cousin was raised Baptist. And she married a Mormon, and she turned completely into Mormons. I just pray she was saved when she was young.
Well, the Bible says they went out from us because they never were of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained. What should happen, that's 1 John 2:19, what should happen is that pastors should be teaching from the pulpit Christian theology and what other religions teach. And not every single day, you know, every Sunday, but they need to preach it, that over a few months, these things have been addressed. But pastors aren't really, you know, doing this and equipping them. I've talked to so many people who raised Baptist and then who joined the Mormon Church. And a lot, in the Catholic Church I can understand, because the Catholic Church is not Christian, you know, it has all this false stuff in it. But the Baptists, I was shocked when I'd hear how many Baptists became Mormons. Really.
I don't know. It's just scary for people, to me, for people out here that refuse to listen and refuse to accept Christ. It's just it's a hard thing to watch. I had
yes,
a guy.
Is.
I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to let you go. This is quick. I worked with a guy one time, and everybody in the store knew I was a Christian. And he came up to me one night and he said, you claim to be a Christian. I said, I don't claim that. I am a Christian. He said, well, how come you're here working at this store when you should be over in China, Japan, or one of them foreign countries helping people and teaching them about your God? I said, because that's not what God chose me to do. You know, and everything I said to him, you could, the more I said, his countenance changed. He just began to look pure evil. And I got scared of him, and I just walked away. I just wasn't strong enough to fight him.
There's a lot of people who seek to speak against God because they hate truth, because it means they have to answer to him, and people don't want to do that. So, yep, there
well,
you go.
He said he was raised in a Baptist family, but he decided it wasn't right. So, I mean, I just left him because I have heard that phrase, their countenance changed, and his did. And it scared me. And I'm a grown old woman, but it still scared me.
Well, I get scared when I look in the mirror sometimes, but early in the morning. But it's a different kind of scare that you're talking about. So, yeah, I'm with you.
I have to run up to it and jump up. Well, thank you for listening to me ramble, but I just, you know, I just wanted to share that maybe that'll help somebody or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate all you do, and I listen to you every chance I get. And I just hope and pray the best for you and for that station.
Well, thank you. I don't know how the whole network's doing, but they still have me on, which means they have pretty low standards. That's how I would look at it. If they have me on, it's hardly worth listening to. But, you know, well, praise God, though. You know, I'm trying to preach the gospel and equip Christians and inform them and help them.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. Okay?
Okay, well, you take care, and God bless you and your ministry.
You too. Well, thank you very much. God bless. All right.
Bye.
Well, okay. Well, you know, speaking of that, tonight in 2 hours, I'll be on Clubhouse. And it's not a big deal, folks. You can get on your phone. You can just download Clubhouse and sign up. And it doesn't cost anything. And then around 7 o'clock or 9 p.m. Eastern time, you can just type in my name, a search, and look for it. You'll find a room where I'll be in, Lord willing, if everything works, answering questions and talking. And you can join in and listen. It's easy. It's fun. So may the Lord bless you. There's the music. I am out of here. And by God's grace, we'll talk to you later, everybody. So have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.